And a happy Tuesday to you. We got plenty of football coming up here. In fact, we'll take a listen to the other side as well, as I realize not many people, including maybe myself until this week, knew much about what BYU's been up to. They've got a quarterback change. You'll hear from their head coach. Of course, you'll hear from Charlie Strong at his Monday press conference. He addressed a lot of issues, positives with the team. He also gave us an update on the quarterback situation. Does not appear that Blake Barnett will be ready to even be considered as the starting quarterback this week, but could be ready if needed. Jordan McLeod, naturally, played very, very well against UConn, and the Bulls will hope that continues over this Saturday. It is homecoming week. Yeah, a lot happening. As we get closer to the end of the week, we'll prep you more for what's happening, and that is, of course, volleyball is going to be home for a pair of matches. Friday night is going to be pretty enormous. In fact, I like the fact, it makes a lot of sense, that the Horns Up rally is going to be at campus. That is going to be the place to be. The Horns Up rallies have been at different establishments throughout the Bay Area the Friday night before a home game, but with all that's happening on campus, it makes a lot of sense. There are going to be two massive events, and one of them is the volleyball team taking on UCF. The other is the men's soccer team going up against SMU, both Friday night. You can hear that soccer match live on USF Bulls Unlimited. Actually, it's been a while since we've had a live event for you, not football, because we had soccer both on the road last weekend, and again, nothing on a Tuesday night. Normally, we've had some games during the midweek, so looking forward to bringing you some live action again, but that'll be all that's happening on Friday, and of course, we've got other sports to tell you about as well, but homecoming, you can definitely feel the sort of just the swell building, even though it's early in the week. Now, speaking of men's soccer team, I did a little bit more analysis on what happened to them in their last game. I am going to hit practice on Tuesday and get it from the coach's mouth as far as the Bulls not being able to finish the victory and settling for a no contest. If you didn't hear what happened in Tulsa, we'll get more into that in our second segment. We'll also, in our second segment, tell you who the women's soccer honorees were by the American Athletic Conference, naming their players of the week. In fact, as we start with football, one particular member of the Bulls linebacking core, Dwayne Boyles, who had a big game, was named to the weekly honor roll. Here's a few examples of why.
Hand off, Mensa trying the right side, and Dwayne Boyles is going to wrap him up for a loss back near the 45. Terrific play by the linebacker Boyles. It'll be third down.
You see Boyles getting up celebrating because he just hadn't had so many splash plays this year. The coaches spoke up on this guy during the preseason, and they talked about what he's capable of doing, and that play just showed his speed.
From the 24 of the Bulls, first and 10, here is Tompkins, and Dwayne Boyles comes flying in and tackles him for a loss. They lost a yard on the play to the 25. It'll be second down and 11. If you've seen Dwayne Boyles, you know he's got the really long hair, and that hair was just flying as he went in there and made that tackle. Back to throw is Beaudry, chased out of the pocket, now will run, and he's going to go out of bounds, sliding out of bounds at the 34-yard line. It goes for no gain, third down and 11. Beaudry is not light of foot like McLeod is. He was chugging to get to the line of scrimmage there.
Yeah, I guess he saw McLeod and said, you know what, let me try that too. But guess what? Dwayne Boyle said nope, came in speedy, and got him out of bounds for it. Looks like a loss.
Second and one from the Bulls 32. Beaudry to throw. Pressure coming. They got him. Dwayne Boyles throws him down like a rag doll at the 40-yard line, and Beaudry slow to get up after that one. It'll be third down.
Beaudry's a big guy, and the way Dwayne Boyles slung him down and tackled him, it just tells you how strong Dwayne Boyles is. And we talked about it earlier, and he's just growing. The progress that he's shown from game one up until now, I mean, that's just a great job.
Eight tackles, three tackles for loss, as the Bulls really put it together against UConn, 48-22. The key stat that I mentioned, I know, on the post game, but probably didn't stress enough yesterday, was third down conversions, getting off the field, 2 of 13. UConn had one in its very first drive. I think its very first, well, it would make sense, its very first third down conversion, because they kept going on that first drive, but that was about it. And the Bulls, meanwhile, were 6 for 10. Here's Coach Strong from his Monday press conference on Mr. Boyles.
Well, Boyles have been coming on, and he's one of those guys that he can make plays, because even if he gets beat on a route when he's playing coverage, he's so athletic that he can make up for it. And then he has enough where he can go and hit guys and get really good tackler. where we rush the passer, he can go sack the quarterback. But that's what he's a very versatile. He's kind of a hybrid player where you can play him on the line of scrimmage, where he can play on the line of scrimmage and go rush, and then you can move him back at linebacker. So in our nickel package, he plays backer for us, and then in our base package, he's on the line of scrimmage. But it was just good to see him have the game that he had.
I have a hunch we might get to speak to Mr. Boyles on Tuesday as the players become available to us media, and you'll hear all of that on Wednesday's show. Now to the beginning of Coach Strong's press conference, and I certainly wanted to play his opening thoughts on Joshua Brown, who played 1 year with Skip Holtz. And I don't want to get you or myself more upset by going into the details of what could have happened and what led to him being killed last week in Texas as a result of the trial where he was a witness, but I did not want to leave out the comments that Coach Strong had to make about Joshua Brown, who was shot to death in Dallas on Friday at the age of 28. Then he gets in, of course, to what's going on with the Bulls.
Just to start off, just so sad to hear about the loss of one of our former players, Josh Brown. You know, and our hearts and our prayers go out to him and his family and his friends. But anytime you lose someone that was meant so much to this program and his teammates that were, you know, Lindsey was just talking about him because Lindsey had a chance to play with him. But you hate to see that happen, especially at such a young age. But, you know, we got a big game coming up this week, a very important game for us. And you look at the way we played on Saturday, when we talked about playing physical, we played physical. We talked about playing fast, we played fast, and we played smart. And this team that we're playing this week is big, they're physical, and they're athletic. But we just need to match the intensity that we play with on Saturday and come out. And we got to start good early, and that's what we were able to do. We were able to get off to a good start. Our guys started fast, and we just played like that from start to finish. You know, made some big plays. Defense go out there in the beginning, get a stop, get the ball back for our offense. You know, Jordan was able to make some really good throws. And then we had some guys at Cronkite. We finally got our offensive line going where we could move the line of scrimmage. And whenever you're able to move the line of scrimmage, you're able to run with the football, which we're able to do. You know, he had a big day. Even Sands, we were so happy to see him bounce back and play the way he played. But, you know, Bryce Miller had the two big catches. And then on defense, we came up with sacks. We came up with tackle for losses. But we still can improve. We still got to get better. This week is a chance for us to go out so we can just continue to play better. And consistency is so critical, but also confidence. And you get the win. You play with a lot of good confidence. You had some confidence going in that. So now we're coming back home. And this is what we talked about. SMU, we didn't play good at home. Even, you know, even the first game, we just were against Wisconsin, we didn't look very good. So we need to be consistent, put it all together, and play with some confidence and match last week's performance.
Oh, yes, the running game, that seems to be the big breakthrough that the Bulls made in the win against UConn. Even against South Carolina State, they put up all the points, and it was Jordan McLeod's big breakthrough. But there, even towards the end of the game where they were trying to just run it out, they couldn't get it going. That all changed against the Huskies, and he loves it.
Well, just to see us run the football was really good. We haven't been able to run the ball very good in the last three or four games. So now to see Kronk go for 140 yards was really big for us. And even, you know, Sands getting the numbers he got. But even with Kronk, he probably left some yards out on the field, too, and he was tell you that. But he probably could have gotten more. But just to see him bounce back and have the attitude he had and the way he just, you know, his first carry, he just, you know, ran through the hole. And it was really aggressive where you just knew that he was going to have a good day that day.
The coolest thing that he said during the press conference was the grade that Mitchell Wilcox received. And I'm sometimes guilty of this, although I keep mindful and try not to be. And that is just link up a certain position in the sport to a certain stat. Defensive lineman, what do you think of? What's the first thing you think of when it comes to a defensive lineman? Sacks. Okay, maybe tackles, but sacks. Well, as we all know, you don't have to rack up sacks to be a disruptive defensive tackle. How about defensive backs? What's the first stat you think of? Interceptions. Well, if they're not throwing at you, you're a good cornerback. If you have passes defensed and passes broken up, to me, that's just as important as picks. Of course, you make picks when they come to you. That sort of jumps out at you, but we make that mistake. And of course, with receivers, it's all about catches. And with tight ends, especially with the buildup for Mitch Wilcox senior season, you're thinking he'd rack up the numbers. I certainly did. He had no catches. And yet, as Coach Strong lets us know,
you know, the thing I like about Mitch, he is so unselfish. And you look at him on Saturday, he didn't have no catches. And he had, I think he graded out like at 90%, had three or four knockdowns. and just blocking. You know, I think he had the one chance to catch a ball, and it looked like they pulled him down. Remember, when he was throwing out, cut to their sideline, and there was a lot of contact. He ended up on the ground. Guy ended up on top of him. But just to see him just come out and play as physically he's played and just had that attitude about it, it was really great. It was great for our team to see that, because you talk about one of your best players and he had no catches, but he did go out and block and play very hard. And it's hard for some guys because, you know, they want the ball in their hands and never did say anything about it. But it's not only has he developed as a really good player as a blocker, but also just his whole attitude.
You think more about that. You know, think about a wide out, say, for example, a wide out in an offense that doesn't throw the ball. Sometimes you'll see them sort of just go through the motions. But Mitch Wilcox, knowing that he's being brought in more close to the line to block, well, let's think about it. The run game had its best game, and Mitchell Wilcox did a lot of blocking. Well, I think that says it all. Let's look at the other side a little bit from BYU's perspective. Now, the big thing that they're doing this week is changing quarterbacks due to injury. Zach Wilson was their starting quarterback, got hurt actually while throwing a key interception late in BYU's last game. They were off last week. They fell to Toledo, a good football team, tied game late. Now, BYU's had some results this year. They got blown out by Washington, but they beat USC in overtime. Of course, they grabbed a win at Tennessee as well, and they almost grabbed a win against Toledo, led in this game, tied at 21 when Wilson was intercepted. Toledo ran it all the way back to the two, got the go-ahead touchdown. Then in comes Jaren Hall and actually got them into Toledo territory, but they just didn't have enough time left. Coach Strong on the BYU defense.
Yeah, they mix it up on defense. They come with some zone pressure, really big inside. They have a nose guard who's a really great player. Then even his backup's a really good player, and their two defensive ends are really solid players. The secondary is guys that, you know, have played a lot of football. So, you know, the thing we're going to have to be able to do is we're going to have to match what we did. We're going to have to be able to move the football. And the only way we can move the ball, we're going to have to be able to run it. Because I think our pass game opened up on Saturday because of the way we were able to run the football.
You mentioned their nose being a really good player. Kyrus Tonga, a 6'4", 321-pound junior on the defensive line, 67 career tackles, 18 this season. He spoke about coming off the bye week, and he gets into the quarterback at the end here with his Monday media session at BYU.
It was tough, but we're just going on to the next week. Just focus on moving on and learning from that loss and things we can take as a team and things that we can improve on. Yeah, we just need to be better up front. It starts with the D-line, not being blocked. Just being more physical, and that's something that Coach Kalani and Coach Elisa have been telling us constantly, and that's something that we're planning on taking care of. So, Jaren Hall, he's quicker than Zach, and Zach's fast. So it's gonna be fun watching him. We've gone against him a lot and during practice and during spring while Zach was out, and we're excited for him to play and execute plays.
Sturdy looking and sounding guy there. Speaking of Jaren Hall, again, he is last year in high school was 2015. You got to remember that. Most of the BYU players go on missions. He played right there in Utah at Maple Mountain High School in Spanish Fork. Look at his senior year stats. Nothing too spectacular. 167 yards passing a game, 13 touchdowns, 8 interceptions, but he can also run the ball. As you heard his teammate just say, he's a little bit better at it than the starting quarterback. So Jaren Hall, very cool customer, also very cool. A couple things, that he had a father who played Kalen at BYU in the early 90s, and his brother, KJ, also played running back.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, getting increased reps in spring, you know, versus fall last year was huge. You know, just catching up to the speed of the game. You know, it's a lot faster, so I felt like I got a little more comfortable with the offense and, you know, just football in general at the college level. So I think it was huge for now.
How excited is your dad, you know, former player here and quarterback?
Yeah, I think they're very, you know, proud of me. I've had a chance to talk to him, obviously, throughout the week. You know, they're excited to see me play, you know, as any parent would be of their, you know, their son or daughter in this position.
Kalen or KJ, give you any advice as far as being the starter? I mean, they're football guys. So.
Yeah, no, I just say go play, man. You know, we've had a relationship like that, so just go play and have fun.
Jaren, growing up in Spanish Fork and playing for Maple Mountain, how does that prepare you, do you think, for being in this role right now?
Yeah, just getting, you know, reps at quarterback, honestly, you know, just playing, you know, at a high level in high school and, you know, expecting the same, you know, now in college.
How big was it that you were able to get a series against Toledo?
Yeah, I think that was actually, you know, pretty huge. I think about it a lot, you know, just the feelings of being in there finally, you know, the confidence it gave me to know that, you know, I can go in and compete at the college level. And so it was good to get in there with the guys and, you know, to feel the speed of an actual game.
Is it kind of, you know, surreal to be the starting quarterback in a place you want to always be at?
Yeah, it is surreal, you know, just to be here finally. But, you know, hopefully to take it all in, put that aside, and just, you know, get to work and, you know, own this position now.
What has Zach had to say to you since the transition took place now?
Yeah, Zach's on board, man. He's a great teammate. You know, he's still in the meeting rooms with us on the field, you know, giving his eye of what he's seeing. You know, he's very intelligent in football, and he knows the game. So he's been a big help and just a great teammate through it.
And last, head coach Kalani Sitake, who has been the coach since 2016, also a player at BYU. Yeah, Sitake kind of had a little poke way of getting to some reporters when asked certain things that you could tell he didn't feel like being asked about. Now, as far as comparing the quarterbacks, the Jaren Hall kid, who is going to get his first career college start, again, was a baseball player in high school as well, to the man he's replacing, Zach Wilson. Then he gets a little bit into USF. Doesn't sound like he is really thinking much about the Bulls as he is on his own team, which fell below 500 with that loss to Toledo.
Yeah, he's extremely confident, and I think he's ready for this moment, and I'm really excited for him. I know he's really excited, and the players are responding to him well, and you know, Zach still has a role and is there as a mentor and help coach. It's all he can do right now and be a support to his teammates. And I thought we had really, really good practices last week with Jaren running the show and gave some opportunities for Joe and for Baylor to get some reps as well. Main emphasis in his recruiting was that he was going to be a quarterback. And I think he could play a lot of different positions because he's athletic. He can do a lot of different things. But his focus was being able to throw the ball and be a quarterback. And that's why we've kept him pretty much at that position. And you know, we've used him a little bit here and there on different things and schemes, but he came here to play quarterback. And I'm, you know, unfortunate that there was an injury, but really happy that he's ready to seize the moment and take advantage of the opportunity that he has for him. I think Zach's really excited for Jaren and the opportunity he has in front of him, but they're really competitive, and that's one thing that's very similar. But when it comes to style of play, I think both of them can run, both of them can throw, and that's why we recruited both of them to come here and compete. So that's, I don't know, I'm not trying to give out any scheme or anything like that, but I think they're very similar, and they can play similar styles of football. And just, you know, the only difference is Jaren plays baseball on his off time a little bit. A lot of athleticism and speed, and, you know, and I know Coach Strong, he's been around for a long time, and he'll have those guys playing hard, and they're coming off a win, so we're going to their house, and we have to be ready for this game. And more than anything, we respect them a lot. But from my purpose, we're just trying to get our team ready. It doesn't really matter who we play against this week. We're going to respect them and scout them like we have been, but I'm more concerned with how we're playing as a unit more than anything right now.
So hope that gets you a little bit more into the know about BYU and, of course, with the Bulls as well. We told you about Dwayne Boyles being on the weekly honor roll. The women's soccer team had a couple of players high up on that sports list. That's coming up next, along with an update on men's golf, along with sailing and tennis. And we got some men's basketball scheduling news. That's all next on Bulls Beat.